The three great truths of the Lutheran Reformation are sola scriptura, sola gratia, and sola fide. Those Latin words are found on the official seal of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. They mean scripture alone, grace alone, and faith alone. The shocking truth of the Reformation, however, is not scripture, grace, or faith. It's that little word, sola, alone, only, solely. Alone doesn't sound shocking, but it is. Every Christian denomination says it's founded on scripture. In their statements of faith, you find phrases like according to scripture, as scripture says, in accordance with scripture. Now add the word alone. In our formula of concord, we pledge ourselves to the prophetic and apostolic writings as the only true norm by which all teachers and teachings are to be judged and evaluated. In the small called articles, we confess this shocking truth. God's word shall establish articles of faith, and no one else, not even an angel, can do so. Catholics, both East and West, appeal to the Church Fathers to establish articles of faith. They recognize them as on par with the Scripture. Pentecostals appeal directly to the Spirit, apart from the Word. The Reformed say God does not do anything contrary to reason, thereby setting up what they can get their heads around as a standard to judge all teachers and teaching. Lutherans say the word alone is enough. You can see you're not shocked by that. Then you don't really know what scripture alone means. It means scripture alone tells us all that we need to know about God for salvation. Scripture alone is an accurate guide for faith and life. Scripture alone is to be trusted even when it goes beyond my senses and reason. Scripture alone tells us all we need to know about God for salvation. It doesn't tell us how a holy angel fell into sin. It doesn't tell us why God allowed Adam to fall. It doesn't tell us how come guilty Peter is saved and guilty Judas is damned. But Scripture alone tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself by counting the sins of the world against Christ and by putting the holiness of Christ over the world. Scripture alone is an accurate guide for faith and life. Your Baptist friend regularly puts himself on the rack of finding the will of God for his life. Your Pentecostal friend regularly looks for signs from God to know where and what to do in life. Your Catholic friend agonizes over how he can be sure of God's will. You rest in Scripture alone. What God hasn't told you, you're glad not to know. What God has not revealed in Scripture alone, you are free to do or to not do. God's will is expressed in Scriptures alone, not in your feelings, not in your interpretation of signs. Scripture alone is trusted even when it goes beyond my senses or reason. Scripture says bread is body and wine is blood. Scripture says that sinners are saints, that sick, the sick healthy, the suffering blessed, and the dead alive. Try to get your head around any one of those things. While you're at it, try to get your head around a virgin birth, invisible angels, and a six-day creation. But we go by what Scripture alone says rather than what our senses can apprehend or our reason can comprehend. And that's good. That's good because you're never going to be able to apprehend how a sinner like you can be a saint at the same time. You're never, and your reason will never comprehend how God became man and redeemed mankind. Still not shocked, are you? Well, let's move on to being saved by grace alone. Catholics will say we're saved by grace, but not by grace alone. God's grace alone deals with their original sin, but not with their actual sins. The sin they're born with, well, that is graciously washed away in their baptism. But the sins they've committed since baptism, well, they're not. Oh, grace is involved, but it's involved as a fuel, not as a gift. Grace from Jesus' perfect life and innocent death, as well as grace from the good works of the saints, is poured into them so they can do good things to offset their bad things, to offset their sins. So the Catholic receives communion not for complete forgiveness by grace, but to get the grace to do good things to be forgiven. What about Methodists, Presbyterians, Pentecostals, Episcopalians, and Baptists? Surely they believe in grace alone. Yes, they believe as we do, that grace is in God's heart and not something he pours into our heart, and that apart from any merit in us, God sent his only beloved Son into the world to live the perfect life needed to keep the law and to die the death needed to pay for our sins. But where the other Protestants trip up is how salvation that is by grace alone gets to sinners. You know what they say because some of you are about to say it. You're about to say that the forgiveness, life, and salvation that Jesus graciously won for the world of sinners gets to sinners by faith. And that's a problem. See, that statement makes faith a means of grace. This puts the weight of your eternal salvation on your faith. And only someone who hasn't faced real trials, real terrors, or real temptations can bear it being there. The rest of us know the best we can ever say is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The more a trial, a terror, or a temptation hammers on our heart with the question, do you really believe? The more we see our faith pounded into little bitty pieces. How does the forgiveness, life, and salvation that Jesus graciously won for sinners get to sinners? If you say it by faith, then you make faith a sacrament, and what you have really is faith in faith. No, faith needs a place to hang its hat. Faith must be in something. It can't be, I believe in faith. Most of the other Protestants do see the word as a means of delivering grace. So they speak of faith in the promises, faith in the word. Now that's good. Their faith is hanging on what God has promised. Their faith is in what God has said. But those other Protestants don't recognize baptism or communion as a means by which the gracious forgiveness Jesus won on the cross comes to us in time. To them, baptism and communion are signs. They're symbols of how God in Christ feels, but they aren't means of grace. They are for you and I. Because when we touch our baptismal waters, Scripture says we touch a life-giving water rich in grace. And when we touch the bread and wine of communion, Scripture says we touch the body and blood of God the Son, once given and shed on Calvary, come down again from heaven, to forgive us. Being saved by grace alone means God does all the work and that your salvation is as sure as God himself. Well, why then do we say we're saved by faith alone? And don't all churches say that? Well, all Christians speak of faith, but they don't speak of faith alone. Catholics won't say that at all. Something more than faith in Christ is needed to save a person. Faith must be active in good works. Now you think you're not susceptible to that error, but we all are. When Satan attacks us, we don't stand on faith alone. We stand on our going to church. We stand on our supporting the church. We stand on our doing good works. Or we stand on our not doing works as bad as those other people. But we fall off on the Protestant side too. They confess that salvation is by faith alone, but then they make faith something it is not. To some, it's a decision they make. To others, faith is something that God sees and is pleased with, and so rewards it with salvation. That's not really salvation by faith alone. That's salvation by a big faith alone, by a firm faith alone, by a sure faith alone. You know what happens to faith when you talk that way? Faith becomes unsure, doubtful, inadequate. It can't stand alone. Something needs to be added to it, whether good works, certainty, or boldness. We've all been here before. Many of us live here. What a far cry, and I do mean cry literally. We are from Paul saying, We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. We add the law of doing good works, or we add the law that faith must be certain or heartfelt. This leaves us never being able to say, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm justified before God. I know I'm forgiven for all the sins my conscience is afraid of. Dear friends, let faith alone be really alone, all alone. It's not faith's bigness. It's not faith's certainty that justifies. It's not faith's bigness or certainty that forgives or saves a person. If it were, then Jesus would not have repeatedly pointed to a tiny faith, mustard seed in size, receiving all the power of God. Faith saves because it receives salvation. It does not cause salvation. If it did, well, then you would need to be sure you had the right amount or the right size to cause salvation. Faith receives what God first puts there. God puts salvation in his word of promise. God puts salvation in his waters of baptism. God puts salvation in his body and blood and communion, and faith receives them there. Faith is the only way to receive salvation because salvation is a promise that God makes to sinners in his word, in his water, in his sacrament. That means you don't instantly go to heaven when you're absolved, when you're baptized, or when you're communed. You are promised heaven in them. Faith receives that promise. Even the teeny tiny faith does. But God doesn't want you focusing at all on your faith, but on his promise. Faith withers when it's focused on. Faith blossoms when God's gracious promises are focused on. Picture a beggar being led into a room full of food. The only way you can have it is by eating, but you would not stand there saying, you better eat this, you better put it in your mouth, and you better chew and swallow it. No, you'd simply put the food before him and the eating would take care of itself. God, in his means of grace, sets the table of salvation for you, and faith eats. But what if you did find a beggar who for some reason would not eat? Well, still, you wouldn't get him to eat by focusing on his eating, but by focusing on the rich food. Likewise, when faith falters, don't focus on why you doubt or how small your faith is. No, focus on the new life given in baptism. Focus on the full forgiveness given in absolution. Focus on the everlasting life given in communion. Keep the words alone, only, solely, sola, with you this week. When you stray into worries and doubts, let it call you back to only Scripture. When you see your many sins as being too many, let that word alone call you back to grace alone. And when you consider how weak your Christian life is, let it call you back to the joyous truth that salvation is yours, sola fide. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.